Welcome to today's broadcast of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast with Ed Taylor.
Welcome again to the latest episode of the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor, and we are talking about servanthood and leadership within the context of the church. Of course, I'm a pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, and that is the context of how I get to apply these principles. However, applying the principles are anywhere. I remember them teaching us servant leadership way back when I was in the corporate world, but the real teacher of servant leadership wouldn't be those in the corporate world. It's Jesus, right? He came, according to Mark 10:45, he came to serve and not be served. He's the one that took a garment and washed the disciples' feet, and we want to follow in his footsteps. What does that look like exactly? How do we want to follow through? How do we want to follow through in becoming all that God wants us to be? So we're coming to the end of season 3. I'm so grateful that not only we got to start it, but we're also finishing it. And here at season 3, we've been going through a book talking about these topics. The book is titled Sure and Steady, Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. But don't let the subtitle scare you off. It's not just a book for pastors, although we did develop it to help those in leadership here at the church with principles that we've learned over the last 20 plus years. We developed it so that we could sit down, pour into young men and women, trusting them to grow in their ministry, where they're serving, whether it's children's ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, of course, for the elders and the pastors as well. And so we're coming up on, we have just a couple more episodes that we're going to look at, and we're going to have a topic today. So just to remind you that I really enjoy your feedback and your questions. We get a lot of it, so don't hesitate. I read all the emails. I read all the texts, responding to them. So you can email me at ed@edtaylor.org, ed@edtaylor.org, or you can text me at 720-608-0012, 720-608-0012. And I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear feedback. I'd love to hear questions for season 4. Season 4 is going to be, again, we're going to go back and visit some topics. We're also going to be answering questions that have come in, talking out loud. I had a brother email me recently, just going from one phase of church ministry to another, and had some questions that they were great questions. And I even have a brother that text me today that wants to chat later this afternoon with some ideas of how we want to encourage pastors. And so those are the topics I love talking about. I'm not an expert on them in any way. I'm learning like you are, but talking things out in the presence of the Holy Spirit through prayer, through preparation, bouncing ideas off, being collaborative is really the direction of our ministry here, and God has blessed it. So we want you to be a part of it. Give me your feedback. Love to hear from you. We're going to jump into today's topic, and that is your time on the property. Your time on the property. I don't know exactly how I'm going to end up titling this episode, but I want to emphasize a couple of things when people are on the property, like when they come to worship God at your church building, at the school you're meeting, in the place that you're renting, wherever you are, when you gather together as the saints, that is a very important time. And I don't want you to miss out on the time when people gather. So a leader's role, a pastor's role, a spiritual leader's role, a good servant's role is to be among the people. And so you need to be among the people when the people are in proximity. So that means if they're gathering and you have a sanctuary, you want to be among the people in the sanctuary. You want to be greeting people, praying with people, ministering to people, serving the flock during these critical times. Because I want you to put yourself, one of the ways that helps us in ministry is to think about what a person thinks about when they come to church, when they call the church, when they set up a counseling appointment, whatever it is that they're, if we think of it from their perspective, it'll really help us. because, you know, we get used to doing things in routine and rhythms. Nothing wrong with that. But we kind of know the system. We kind of know how things work. We know the building. We know we know a phone number. You know, we know things that we take for granted. But a person calling in, they don't know all these things. They don't know how things work. They don't know the back end of your church or of your life. Or so if you think of it from their perspective, you go, okay, my marriage is struggling. Let's use this as an example. My marriage is struggling. I don't think my spouse will meet with anybody, but I need help and I'm going to make a phone call. So they go onto the website. They Google the church, or somebody gave them a card. They find your church on the web. Is there a clear indication of how to call? Is there a phone number on your website? I can't tell you how many times I'll visit a website. There's no phone number. So they're calling the number. They're nervous. They're uncertain. And then a person answers the phone. And in our church, we have a receptionist. But when the receptionist is not there, we all answer the phone. So if the phone is ringing and it's on our desk, we can answer it. And I love answering the phone. So somebody answers the phone, Calvary Chapel, how can I help you? And then the word goes forth, and then immediately, you know, the request goes forth. Immediately, you got to think, man, I need to be patient and compassionate. This is a very difficult situation. I want to get the right information to connect this person with a pastor. So you see, it's something to help understand how people reflect into your church. So when it comes back to our topic of the weekly gathering, whether it's a Sunday, Saturday night, Wednesday, people are coming, there's visitors, there's people that have been there for a while, and it's important that this is how I describe it to our team. It's the 15 minutes before service and the 15 minutes after service is some of the most important ministry time of the gathering. So let me just repeat that. And think of it from the perspective of somebody visiting a church or coming to church for the first, second, third time. The 15 minutes before service and the 15 minutes after service are some of the most important time in the gathering. And it's important that you have that in your mind as you're serving the Lord. Even if you say, but Ed, I only lead a home Bible study. No, you're a part of this church. I mean, imagine if it wasn't just the leadership, but all of us took this approach, that like the church would be more friendly, more loving, more caring, more open to the Holy Spirit using us to encourage, to strengthen, to help, to build up. Just imagine if we were all empowered, you know, think about it. If we were all took our mandate as the body of Christ, as we took all of our mandate to say, no, that's not just a pastor. No, you know, I've been saying something recently in our church where, you know, a need comes up, you're out and about in the community and a need comes up. And here's what's happened. What's happened is a need comes up and then you'll say, well, call the church. And I've been reminding our church family here, no, don't call the church. You are the church. Like, you can meet that need right in front of them. You can pray with them right in front of them. Sure, there might be a need or a follow-up to minister and talk to a pastor or a key spiritual leader or getting involved in a small group later on. But the church is right there in front of them. And so, no, you don't call the church. God brought the church right to that person, to that homeless person, to that angry person, to that hurting person, to that that person in front of you has the church right there with them, right there. And so when we come back to the meeting in the gathering, you are the church. And so you can do this in your church right away. Show up early and then walk around the sanctuary. Notice the people that are there 15 minutes before or even earlier. There a lot of times in that time frame, 15 minutes before, there's a lot of new people. They've never been there before. They wanted to leave early. And they didn't want to be late. They wanted, if there was kids involved, they wanted their kids in the Sunday school and not have it be full. So they're coming early and they're probably reading. If you guys still give out bulletins, they're probably reading a bulletin. They may be looking up on the screen. And here's what they see. They see a lot of servants already there doing whatever they're supposed to do. And I have a visual in our sanctuary. There's precious men and women that are vacuuming, straightening chairs, going through, making sure trash is picked up. The worship team is practicing, so sometimes the room is pretty loud, and they usually do finish before the 15 minutes, but then and then you have the sound folks and the video people getting the cameras set up. You have the pastors. We all have our assignments, make sure the foyer is clean and make sure the Bibles are put in place and the new believer. Like, we're all moving around, and they're sitting there by themselves. One of us needs to engage them and look them in the eye and welcome them and minister to them. We need to be about our Father's business. And so when you think about it, this is amazing opportunity to minister to the gospel. This is not just for the greeters. It's not just for the elders. It's not just for the pastors. It's for all of us, but especially for all of us that are leaders and overseers. This is our responsibility. We are to engage with the people. So you're going to meet people that are brand new. You're going to meet people that just like to be early. You're going to meet people that's their routine and their rhythm. I think especially in our first service on Sunday, we have a lot of people there early. That's just their rhythm. Morning people, they're already up. They've had their coffee and they are ready to go. Even if I'm teaching in another church, I love to meet people for the first time. I love to connect with them. I love to reconnect with them. And I don't want you to underestimate the value of a two-minute conversation that validates your love for them and encourages them and helps them feel loved and appreciated and noticed. And I encourage our team to master the art of small talk. Master the art of small talk. Don't be immediately offended by that, because I don't mean small talk just to pass time and move on. I mean mastering the art of connection with small talk to lead to large talk or more substantive talk. For example, hey, welcome. Good morning. How are you? I'm doing great. One of the tricks, and I don't mean it as a trick, but one of the things I've been doing for many years now is, doesn't matter what time of the day it is, I'll tell somebody good morning. So let's say it's Saturday night. We have a Saturday night service here, and I'll walk around and say good morning, good morning, good morning. If you've been a part of the church for a while, you already know it's no big deal. But if you don't know, it almost always gives a pause and a response. You know how when you go around, you go, good morning, good morning. And let's say Sunday morning. Good morning, good morning. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. And we have that routine that just seems to, it's the same old thing, and it doesn't really spark much of a conversation. But when you say good morning on a Saturday night, it stops somebody and go, it's not morning. And all of a sudden, the whole routine is broken up. And then that's an open door for me to take advantage of that pause and explain to them, talk to them, take that conversation where I want them to go. So the fact that they don't know it already tells me they're probably newer to our church. And I'll say something, one of my go-tos is, but it's morning somewhere. We have missionaries all over the world. And I'll pull out my phone and I'll show them, hey, we got missionaries in Ireland. Let's pray for them right now. And they go, but why do you say good morning? And I said, well, years ago, when we launched a campus out in Denver, probably about 10, 12 miles from our church, we launched a campus and we were broadcasting our Saturday night service Sunday mornings at the campus. And I wanted to help the campus understand that, and I would say good morning even on the camera because it's going to be broadcast in the morning. But even before that, when we launched Saturday night services specifically, I started using good morning, and it was solidified with the campus. But I started using good morning because I wanted everyone on Saturday night to know that this is a legitimate service just like Sunday morning. Our services on Saturday night and Sunday are the same. And at any rate, I developed this. It doesn't do too well when I'm visiting other churches, but I'll use it anyway because it's a habit of mine. And it pauses a conversation, and it almost always leads to a new conversation. But here's the thing. The small talk part is to break the ice. It's a little uncomfortable for many of you. It's a little uncomfortable for someone brand new to the church. So you're breaking the ice. And as you break the ice, you are then opening the door for a conversation. And then you read the body language. You can see if someone's been crying. You can see it on their face if they're worried or anxious. You can see it on their face if they're excited. You know, sometimes they come with five other people, so their family's there, and their kids are in the sanctuary because they don't quite know either about children's ministry or they're not ready to use children's ministry. So you can bet I'm going to engage with the kids as well. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to learn their names. Why? Because they're just as important as mom and dad. And I want them to have a good memory of a pastor. I want them to feel valued and that I want them to know that they're seen and that I'm going to be, you know, and this is my personal greeting, right? Because I'm going to be on the stage in about a half hour teaching them the Bible. And I want them to know that I notice them, I see them. And this time of before service is important. It's during the regular church service times that we have the largest amount of people on the property. And so a leader, a servant, you want to serve well, you need to be in your church service 15 minutes before and linger 15 minutes after. Just because of the end prayer doesn't mean you head out to the car right away. You want to then look around, and this is for anyone. This is for anyone listening to me in your church family. You can look around to see the folks processing the message. The Holy Spirit is working it. And if anyone's hanging out in the sanctuary for 15 minutes, especially those that are sitting there, I'm pretty confident that they are processing the message. They are receiving the Word of God. They are thinking about it. They're thinking about how to apply it. They maybe didn't like it. It might have been hard for them. It might have been challenging for them. But that's an important time. We don't just go back and, well, go talk to the people we know and get back to the everyday, you know, just pass the time. And no. It's important. And you can tell, I think, as I'm listening to myself, I'm pretty passionate about this because it's a very fruitful time. It is a very fruitful time to connect with people. It is not just greeting time. It is not just being good greeters and having good hospitality, although that is. It is literally caring about people where they are, ministering to them, making yourself available to the Holy Spirit and to them. And so this time is important, and it gets applied anywhere. The people that come in your life, let's take it outside the service for a moment. Whoever, wherever, and wherever you are, and whoever's in front of you is there by the grace of God. God has brought you to connect with them. That's why you're there. You're there to minister. You're there to serve. You're there to help them and grow. Like, pay attention. Minister to them. Ask them key questions. Again, you're going to make some mistakes along the way. You might put your foot in your mouth, but that's okay. You'll get over it. And it can also be if you make a mistake. A big mistake that I've made when I greet people is I'll say, hey, how you doing? My name is Ed. Yeah, I know you, Ed. My name is such and such. And then I'll say, are you new to the church? That is not a good question to ask because there'll be many times, and we have a larger gathering, a larger fellowship here. There'll be many times when people say, well, Ed, I've been coming here for 5 years. And I'm like, oh, man. And it's a very uncomfortable thing. And so instead of asking that question, we ask, how long have you been coming? I mean, if I don't know them, if I've just met them, if I ask that open-ended question, and that same person says, well, we've been here for 5 years, and I would respond, wow, are we just meeting right now? And they may say, no, we met a few years ago, and oh, okay, or it's really good to reconnect with you, and really value them. Like this last Wednesday, I met a brother who said he's been in our church for 8 years, and this is the first time that he came up after a service to talk about what things that are on his heart for me to pray with him. But he's been there for 8 years. Now, I know him because I know him by face, and I've seen him many times serving, but it's been 8 years since we connected. And so this 15 minutes before service and 15 minutes after service is absolutely important. It is vital. It is the time that you get to connect. You get to pray with people. You know, what? Let's just say you are praying with someone and they just break down crying. Well, we don't, and then the music starts, right? Then the first note of the worship music starts and you're like, oh, here's what you do. If somebody really needs deep ministry, have them get up and walk with you outside of the room and go minister in the foyer or the area of your church outside of the sanctuary, because that is a God-ordained appointment. And you can always pick up the message on the app or, you know, however your church is distributing it. You can always pick up the message. You can always receive it. And the person in front of you is more important because God is using people to connect with people. And these key minutes will train you so that when you're outside of your church family, you're paying attention to the person in front of you. You're learning, you know, and I'm not an expert on body language or anything like that, but I know the Holy Spirit can alert me to someone that's sad. Again, someone that might be crying, some couple that was arguing in the same, in the parking lot before they came in. And this skill, I would probably just call it paying attention, intentionally paying attention to the person in front of you. I think that's what my heart is on this particular podcast. And I know if you made it this far on the podcast, you're like, this is nothing new, Ed. This is nothing new. Well, then take it up like Peter did, like Peter said, and take it as a reminder. In these last days, with COVID separating us, isolation, there's still people at home that haven't been back to church. We need to be intentional and pay attention to the person in front of us. In a way with this cliquish attitude of just hanging out, and it may not even be on purpose, right? It may not be on purpose where I'm trying to be a part of a clique, but we're just hanging out with the people we know, talking about things that really aren't important. And then there are people that are in and out of our sanctuaries, in and out of our churches, listen, in and out of our lives, that we are not stepping in to the deeper things of ministering to the person that's in front of us. And this is a great habit to have. And I love doing this when, in some of the churches that I've had the privilege of teaching, there's a culture of praying before service and then just kind of hanging out in the green room. And that's great for the first few minutes before service. But I prefer not to hang out in the green room, and I prefer not to be in the back during worship. I like greeting so I can meet people. I can ask the Holy Spirit to give me a sense of the people coming, the culture I'm walking into, the different mindsets, what have people been dealing with, on and on. And I'm not taking notes, and this isn't like an overly heavy thing. It's not a huge, heavy, hard thing. It's just I want to be open. I want to obey the word. I want to obey the Lord when he says in his word to shepherd the flock of God that's among you. And I want to be among the flock as much as I can, learning, growing, shaking hands, stopping and praying. I mean, here's a great story, and then we'll end our time today. But I had a lot on my mind Sunday morning, this last Sunday. I had a lot on my mind, so I purposely chose to drive to church a longer way. I mean, it's probably about 5 or 10 minutes more, but I just wanted to wind down. I wanted to think it through. I wanted to pray. And I drove the longer way. So driving the longer way had me 2 minutes later, walking in for our pre-service meeting. We all gather together. We talk about the service. We pray together, sing together. So it's a little different all the time. So our pre-service meeting, and I walk in, and I sit in the back, and there's a sister in the back. So it's just me and this sister in the back, and then most of the people are up front next to Pastor Roy, as he's leading us in the time. And the instruction that morning was just to pray, you know, find someone you don't know. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the service together. And so I'm right there with a woman that I know has been coming to our church and serving, but I haven't met her. So we sit down, and then I notice in the corner of my eye, there's a brother, in a different section in the back with us who's all alone. So I say, hey, let's go pray with him. And you and I, let's go pray with him. And she was already nervous to pray with me, and now I'm making her more nervous praying with another person she hasn't met. But we meet him. I know him. I know what's happening. His son just passed away tragically, and it's just a hard situation, and he's back in church, and we want to pray with him, and he's grieving, and it's a lot going on in his life. And so we go over, and we introduce each other real quick, and then we pray, and I say, you go ahead and pray. I tell the woman, you go ahead and pray. Oh, no, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray, and which is a natural response. And I say, no, you can do it. You can pray out loud. You can pray for this man. And she says, but I'm going to cry. And I said, you can pray and cry. And it was just a glorious moment. And we're talking 5 minutes of time where there was amazing breakthrough for this woman praying together out loud, even if she cries. It was a glorious opportunity for this man to be encouraged because he's in deep grief while his sisters are, while his wife is serving. And then I'm there being encouraged because I had a lot on my mind and the Lord just showing me, look, Ed, I'm on the move in your fellowship. It was just glorious. It was just glorious. And we're talking 5 minutes. And 5 minutes of intentional, focused ministry, the Holy Spirit can magnify and multiply. Again, think about it. Remember on the day of Pentecost when Peter got up and he shared that message? What was that message? If you read it, well, it was under 5 minutes. It was so quick and so short. But that short, intentional, Spirit-empowered ministry resulted in 3,000 people giving their lives to Jesus Christ that day and later being baptized. Just quick, intentional, yielded to the Holy Spirit. And so be intentional, focus on the person in front of you. And in your church service, again, I know this is kind of a church-centric episode, but I guess I would speak to you pastors and you leaders, you know, don't go back to your office. Don't think that the start of your, like, don't get into the routine just because you have a key. Go to your office. You can rest. You can hide in the back. Other people can't walk around the places of the building that you can walk around. No, when we are on the property and people are on the property, especially for our services, we need to be intentional in ministering to them, serving them, because then we'll learn to be intentional ministering to others, serving them, being available to the Holy Spirit. And again, I know it's nothing new, it's not rocket science, but I revisit this all the time in our church because we are just people of habit. And if we have bad habits or even habits that'll take us away from the people, we're here to serve the people. That's it. That's why we're here. We take in from the Lord, we abide in Christ so that we can give away. That's why he entrusted us with greater levels of responsibility. And he entrusted us with greater levels of you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And I think in Matthew 14:14, it says, when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion, and then he stepped into them. He healed them, it says. He was moved when he saw it, and he served them. He healed their sick. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul said, therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Shepherd the church of which he purchased with his own blood. God has made you the overseer, so be faithful to it. God has made you the overseer, so be faithful to it. And then 1 Peter 5, this is the verse we keep repeating. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So again, this brings us to the end of our episode today. Email me, tell me your thoughts, ed@edtaylor.org, or you can text me 720-608-0012. This is the Lead to Serve podcast. We produce it here, Abounding Grace Media, a ministry of Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. We're a Calvary Chapel. If you need resources, you have questions, we'd love to help you, love to serve you, love to be a part of all that God is wanting to accomplish in your life. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.